Before we get started this morning, can we take just a second just to get here, just to be in this place? Lord, there's so much to do. Our calendars are full. Sometimes with joyous events, sometimes with obligations. Rarely is there a moment to breathe. We ask that for the next few moments you bring us to this place. Focus us on your words. Not on the distractions of whatever is next. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. I love Christmas. I love it. I have always loved it. Travis and I fight about it all the time because I've been playing Christmas music in the office every day for about a month now. I keep trying to remind him that my dad started in September, so he should be grateful for my restraint. Last week, we had the pleasure of putting up the decorations that are in here. And when I say pleasure, it really is a pleasure. I love it when the sanctuary looks like this. I love the wreaths on the windows and the lights and the candles. It just brings back so many incredible memories. I grew up having kind of one of these blessed childhoods where Christmas was truly magical. You know, Thanksgiving would happen and we would play the family football game out in the backyard. And then as soon as leftover turkey sandwiches started showing up at my table, Christmas decorations started going up and the weather got cold and we put on our mittens and our hats. We had parties and we went to see Santa at the mall and we went caroling, like real caroling. Has anybody ever been real caroling? Why don't we do that anymore? That was awesome. Like, we got together in a group and just went door to door and knocked on people's doors and sang Christmas carols. I loved that. Over the last few years, I've found myself sadly losing some of that wonder of the holidays. A couple of weeks ago, right before Thanksgiving, I had a couple of meetings back-to-back down in Williamson County, and on my way, the first meeting got canceled. So I had about an hour to kill, and rather than kind of posting up at a coffee shop somewhere and studying or answering emails or doing whatever I would normally do, I said, you know what? I'm not feeling it right now. So I'm going to take this hour, and I'm going to Cool Springs Mall. Yeah, right? Seemed like a good idea at the time. But seriously, it was the middle of the day. I didn't figure it was going to be that busy. But what I did know is it was going to be decked out with holiday decorations. And Frank Sinatra and Michael Bublé were going to be singing to me. And candles were going to be lit. And everybody was going to be happy. And it was going to prime the pump a little bit. It was going to get me into that holiday spirit. Get me ready. And I went and I walked around. And Frank Sinatra and Michael Bublé were singing to me. And there were decorations, and there were candles lit, and there were people everywhere, and they were happy. And I was shocked and saddened. It didn't affect me at all. Now, let me rephrase that. It did affect me, but affected me in the exact opposite way I was hoping that it would. You see, Christmas is supposed to, in my mind, remind me of everything that's right in the world, of everything that's right in my life, of everything that's right in myself, of man's natural inclination to love one another, of the best of what we can be, the best of who I am. But what I discovered was, as I walked around and I saw all the things that I thought of as Christmas, all it was doing was shining a very stark spotlight on the chaos and uncertainty in my life. It didn't get me in the Christmas spirit. It just reminded me of what I thought I should have and what I actually didn't. Over the Advent season, over the next few weeks, we are going to do a deep dive into that very idea, that very phenomenon that so many of us experience during this season. We're going to spend some time exploring the true meaning of the season, and I feel so cheesy as those words come out of my mouth. But I'm starting to realize how little I actually think about that. As we do this over the next few weeks, you're going to hear very little about wise men and mangers and shepherds guarding their flocks by night. And instead, we will be focusing on the eternal gifts we were given that day 2,000 years ago. And doing our best to recognize and embrace the fact that those gifts are intended to be very present in our lives today. Not just gifts for the future, but gifts for December 2nd, 2018. We're gonna look at the fact that we can really know what it means to be content and confident. We can really know today true hope and true peace. And today, on this first Sunday of Advent, we're going to look at the fact that we can really honestly know stability. How many of us are desperately seeking that stability in our lives? You know, we've been putting up our Christmas decorations this weekend, and I've thought a lot about stability as I put up the glass ornaments and the precious nativity scenes and the candles to be lit. You know, this stability, this firmness and resistance to change due to outside forces, I've had to really think about what it means to resist change due to outside forces when those forces are a dog and a kitten and a three-year-old that lives life like his hair is on fire. I have had to really think about every surface and try to decide, is this stable? What does it mean to be stable? What happens when Atticus goes tearing through the living room and runs into this? Will this 50-year-old ornament survive? Stability is something we all desperately desire. It is a basic human need. It allows us to fight and stand firm in the face of uncertainty. It gives us a confidence in the face of this constantly changing world around us. As life just kind of spins out of control, this desperate desire to have something stable to stand on is something that we all seek and we all desire. So often we think about it in terms of employment or work. You know, young ladies, as they're seeking their spouse, so often talk about, you know, their mothers want them to have a stable man, which means a guy with a job. A good job, a job that he's going to have for a long time, because that gives you some sort of stability and future, right? Or we think of it in terms of finances. As soon as I'm making X amount of dollars, or as soon as I save Y amount of dollars, as soon as I get rid of this debt, or have this much equity in my home, I will then be stable. Or we think about it in terms of relationships. When I finally find the right partner, when I finally have this group of friends around me that know me intimately and love me well, it will give me a sense of stability. And to some extent, all those things are true. We can find stability in gainful employment. We can find financial stability. We can find stability in our relationships. But the stability that those things give is a very fragile stability. It's a stability that can easily be broken because it's a stability that is dependent upon humanity, which invariably will fail. And when that stability we feel like we've gained fails, it can lead into this downward spiral of panic and chaos. And I thought I had it all figured out. I thought I was on solid ground. But now I feel unmoored, unanchored, adrift at sea. This search for stability, this desperate desire for stability is not a new thing. It's a basic human need to be on solid ground, is addressed time and time and time again in the scriptures, where we as Christ followers go to find that stability. As a matter of fact, in the most comprehensive sermon we have of Jesus Christ, the Sermon on the Mount, three full chapters, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Jesus ends that sermon with these words in Matthew chapter 7. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, these things I've preached about, these things I've said, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house, yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. Isn't that what we're all searching for? Building our house upon that rock, having that stability, that solid foundation. You see, here's the problem. As I walk around during the holiday season, like Cindy Lou Who, and so many other heroes of all the Christmas movies we love, trying to rediscover the true meaning of Christmas, I know the answers, right? I know that Christmas isn't, all about commercialism and gifts. I know the joy of giving. I know the joy of family and friends and every moral of every Christmas movie I've ever seen. I know all of that. I do my best to practice that. Here's another thing, guys. I read this every day. I do my absolute dead level best to follow these words of Christ. And yet, so often, the world continues to spin out of control, and I do not feel like my house has been built on a rock. I feel like I was the one that built the house on the sand, and I can feel it shifting underneath my feet. And I wonder how long before the whole thing falls down. Have you ever been there? The author of Hebrews knew exactly that. And it's there in the first chapter of his sermon that we're going to read today. Would you guys turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1? We're going to read the first four verses. Why don't you stand with me as we read God's word? Long ago, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets at different times and in different ways. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God has appointed him heir of all things and made the universe through him. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So he became superior to the angels, just as the name he inherited is more excellent than theirs. God, we are grateful beyond our ability to articulate for the gift of your Son. We ask this morning, we beg this morning, that you burn these words on our hearts and in our minds. And throughout this holiday season, every baby Jesus we see in a manger, every star we see on top of a tree, bring these words to mind. It is in your Son's name that we pray these things. Amen. Hebrews is one of history's great theological masterpieces. We don't know exactly who the author is. Many people think it might be Paul. Many others think it might be Barnabas. Anybody ever heard of him? What we do know is the author of Hebrews had a firm grasp on theology and Christology. He gives quite a bit of practical application of what it looks like to live a life as a Christ follower. Throughout this letter, throughout this sermon, the author of Hebrews talks about what it looks like to encourage one another, what it looks like to lay aside our sins, what it looks like to have right and healthy relationships, so on and so forth. But the author of Hebrews also knew that none of those things matter without a grounding in basic Christian doctrine. Dogma before praxis. What that means is, to say it another way, you can't do that until you know this. See, what the author of Hebrews knew is that a solid and stable foundation is not found in what we do. It's found in what we believe. And to that end, he opened his entire sermon by describing the vastness and eternal nature of Jesus Christ. You see, he recognized that without this, none of that other stuff matters. Without embracing the fullness and eternal nature of your Savior, what you do does not matter. What you do will not stand. Look at what he says. Long ago, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets at different times and in different ways. We see that throughout the Old Testament. Jeremiah, Moses, and Isaiah, and so many others, as God comes and speaks to his people through these prophets. In these last days, verse 2, he has spoken to us by his Son. Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior, is the final revelation of God. He is the final word of God. He is the summation of all of God's promises. That child in that manger, in your nativity scene, on your kitchen counter, is the final revelation of the Creator of the universe. Verse 3. The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature. That's gorgeous, isn't it? Jesus Christ, the child in that manger, is the exact expression of the nature of the creator of the universe. And he is the radiance of God's glory. The Hebrew word for glory literally means weight, gravity. You see, the glory of God is the weight of all that God is. The full expression of God. The fullness of his understanding and his power. The fullness of his love. The fullness of his presence. That is the weight and the glory of God. And it's this weight of God, this presence of God in our lives, that is the only thing heavy enough to hold us in place as this world spins out of control, as life spins around us, as our calendars continue to fill, as our obligations continue to grow. It's that weight of God that holds us steady. I brought a picture with me this morning. Bill, do you have that picture? Oh, wow, we even pulled on the lights. Does anybody recognize that boat? That is the Vasa. Nice. It is a very famous 17th century Swedish warship. Famous as far as 17th century Swedish warships go. Hey, EA knew what it was. So the Vasa was to be the flagship of the Swedish Navy at the time that Sweden was at its height of power. The king of Sweden was in Poland. He was fighting a war. Sweden was a major world power because of where they were on the map. They had this huge navy. So the king decided, we are going to show the world exactly how powerful we are by building the biggest and most majestic warship ever. It is going to be the flagship of our navy, and by that, the world will know who we are. And so they did that. Early 1600s, it took several years to build, and it was majestic, bigger than anything they had ever built. It was covered with wood carvings from front to back that told the story of the kingdom of Sweden and told the story of the royal family. It had almost 70 cannons, massive firepower. Its presence alone would stabilize power at sea. On August 10th, 1628, thousands of citizens of Sweden gathered on the shore there in the harbor at Stockholm to watch the Vasa as it embarked on its maiden voyage. It leaves port, sails for a few minutes, and then a strong wind comes over the bluffs there into the harbor and hits its sails. And the Vasa leaned way, 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 and then straightened back up and was able to right itself. They adjusted the sails, they figured out what was going on, and they continued on. A few short minutes later, they come to where there's a gap in the bluffs, and a stronger wind comes through. Thousands of people on the shores of the harbor watched in horror as 1,300 meters into the Vasa's maiden voyage, it gets hit by the wind, leans so far over that water gushes into its gun points, its gun ports. It cannot right itself, and it sinks within 15 minutes of leaving port. King was not happy, as you can imagine. They do study after study to try to figure out what went wrong with this massive, glorious ship built by their best shipbuilders. And what they found was there was not enough ballast. There wasn't enough weight to keep the hull of the ship low enough in the water so that it was stable enough to withstand wind, even in calm seas. The official cause of the accident was that the Vasa sank because it had very little initial stability, which can be thought of as resistance to heeling over under the force of wind or waves acting on the hull. There wasn't enough weight to stabilize it. Guys, it is not in recognizing the joy of giving during this season. Do embrace that, own that, feel that joy. It is not in serving during this season. Do that, embrace that, feel that joy. It's not an understanding that Christmas isn't about gifts, but it's about people. Those things aren't going to give you stability. It is only the glory of God, the weight of His fullness, His presence in your life that will hold your ship when the winds and the waves come. And here's the thing, guys. The wind and the waves will come. There is nothing in this book that says following Christ means you will sail on calm seas the rest of your life. In fact, just the opposite. But the beauty of it is we can know stability. And this wasn't a new discovery. This wasn't a new thing for the New Testament. Isaiah chapter 9. As the great prophet Isaiah is prophesying about the coming Messiah, have you heard these words? For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The dominion will be vast and his prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. And he will reign forever and ever. And guys, forever has already started. When we talk about building your house on the rock, when we talk about stability in your life and in your soul and in your heart, it can be found only in Jesus Christ. It can be found only in the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace. It is in His glory and presence in your life that you can know stability. In just a moment, Drew is going to bring his team back up and lead us in a song. But as they do, would you take a few minutes and bow your heads and center your spirits and pray with me? for just a moment, remove any barrier that is preventing you from intimate communication with your Heavenly Father right now. If that's something in your life, if that's your calendar, if that's the busyness of the season, just allow the Lord to wipe that away and remove that. Confess any unrepentant sin. And now thank the Lord for the reminder of this season, the reminder of that unbelievable, unimaginable, undeserved gift of that child in that manger, that 33 years later would hang on a cross, and 3 days after that would live again, so that we may live, so that we may know the radiance of God's glory and the stability that that brings. Lord, we are grateful for the gift of your Son. May this season be a constant reminder that as the world spins and swirls around us, it is only through his presence that we may know stability. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.